All right, and we're back. We just heard a tune called Omega by Albert Eiler, and I just want to tell you a couple of things about Albert Eiler. He was one of the most unusual jazz soloists in jazz history. He had a range on the saxophone that went about an octave beyond the traditional range of most saxophonists. He made a lot of sounds on the saxophone that we might call moans or wailing sounds. One thing about his music that you probably notice is that the rhythm section doesn't really even attempt to try to swing. That swing quality is something that's missing. The music that we heard by Ornette Coleman, at least in the background, it seems as though the drummer is trying to convey some feeling of swing and the bass player is doing something that resembles keeping a real steady beat. This was common in Mingus's music, Coltrane's music, Miles's music when he did that. But Albert Eiler he eschewed that. He didn't really feel that that was an essential thing. The other thing is that our normal harmonic and rhythmic structures were only loosely followed. He didn't worry about playing 4-bar phrases or 8-bar phrases or having a chord last for a certain period of time or not last for a certain period of time. In fact, a lot of his recordings were actually made without a pianist. Like I said, he made some sounds that were very unsaxophone-like. Choice of sounds that he made on his instrument gave people another thing to check out over John Coltrane and Ornette Coleman, who were two of the very influential saxophonists in this period. We're going to listen to one more cut by Albert Eiler before we move on to the music of Charles Mingus. We're going to listen to Love Cry. This is from an album from the same title, Love Cry, Albert Eiler.
Hale 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 h
Albert Eiler's 1968 recording of Love Cry. We next move on to Charles Mingus. You can talk to three musicians and you'll get three different things about what Charles Mingus was. He was one of the most important jazz bass players in the history of jazz bass, probably one of the first bass players to be a leader in his own right. We have a lot of great bass players that came before him, but most of them were playing in other people's band. Charles Mingus, once we get to about 1955 or so, is a leader. He's a bass player that's making his own records under his own names. Ask someone else about Charles Mingus and they'll tell you he's one of the most important jazz composers after Duke Ellington, who was one of Mingus's idol. Actually, there's a really interesting recording of the two of them performing, and you can tell that Mingus fought with that demon that was Duke Ellington that was inside of him. The other thing, he was also a band leader and a prolific arranger. He arranged a lot of other people's music. There are lots of stories about Mingus would bring music to a recording session, and there would be people copying the music while the people were recording the music, and the copyists would still be copying Charles' scores after the band had recorded enough music for an album, and the musicians would leave, and the copyists would stay even later. We're going to focus on some of Charles's music from the early 1960s and then move up into the mid-1970s. When we listen to this music, a couple of things are going to strike us. It does sound a little bit like hard bop. The rhythm sections are always playing together. There are chord changes to all of this music, although sometimes it seems as though sections get extended arbitrarily, like they'll stay on one chord for a long time. One of the things that does happen is the music seems to sound very, very organized and disorganized at the same time. It's as if the men are deciding to do something at will at the same time. One of the way that Charles was able to do this is that the arrangements had lots of room in there for improvisation, but they also had many, many sections where the band would move to on cue that sounded very different than the section before it. So sometimes the band would change feel abruptly, or they might change tempo abruptly, or everybody in the band would stop playing and the drummer would go into kind of a Negro gospel type thing, like or a folk music type thing. So the first thing we're going to listen to is the classic Reincarnation of a Lovebird. When we're talking about Charles Mingus, there are a couple of musicians that always seem to make it back into his fold, and one of those was a alto saxophonist by the name of Eric Dolphy, who on this particular recording plays bass clarinet. Another musician whose name keeps coming up is Danny Richmond. In the late 60s, Charles Mingus's band, he had a thing called the Jazz Workshop, and very often when they were playing jobs at a club, they would play a tune four times in a row trying to get it just right. They did it in kind of a workshop fashion. Charles Mingus, he's one of these. If you ever get a chance to read one of his biographies, it would be enlightening to see the types of character that were playing this type of music. He was a very colorful character. I won't even go into some of that. But the first thing we're going to hear this evening again is Reincarnation of a Lovebird. We're going to take a break then because I went over on the first segment, and then we'll come back and listen to another Mingus tune called Varzalian.